Turn with me, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. This morning I want us to look at the faithfulness of God, how we can always count on Him. And so two scriptures that come to mind immediately for me are 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. Now, if you have your black pew Bible, it's going to be on page 1056. And it reads like this: no temptation has overtaken you. You know, sometimes we come up with all kinds of excuses, don't we? To excuse poor behavior, poor manners, or sin. But the Bible tells us there's no temptation that's going to overtake you, except what is common to humanity. We all have these temptations. But these next three words: God is faithful, and He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able. But with the temptation, He will also provide a way to escape so that you may be able to bear it. And so we have no excuse. That would have been the title of my sermon, except I want to focus on the faithfulness of God instead of the sinfulness of man. And then one more scripture, if you turn back to 1 John chapter 1, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. That's going to be on page 1119. 1 John 1, 9 says, if we confess our sins. And it doesn't say the slate is wiped clean just because of who you are, but it says, if we confess our sins, those next three words, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so the three words is God is faithful. I want us to look at that this morning as we think about the faithfulness of God. Would you join me as we go to the Lord in prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank You for a beautiful day that You've given to us, an opportunity to come together this morning and sing praises to Your name and to bow down before You, to read from Your holy word as far as especially concerning Your faithfulness and how we can always count on You. So, Father, this morning I pray that Your Holy Spirit might speak to us, whether it be through Your words, through the songs, through the message, but somehow, Lord, that we might realize that You're calling us out and that You love us. So please bless us now and may Your will be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Last January, you know, that's a year ago tomorrow, I guess, I tried to challenge you to make this a year of change. And so we handed out a church calendar, everybody. And on the back of that calendar, I challenged you to write down every single day something that you're thankful for. And so at the end of the year, which would be today, you can look back and 365 different things that you're thankful for. I found that in 365 times that there were probably about five or six things I repeated myself in. I thank God for the church, and I love the church, the coming together, the fellowship, the worship, and everything else. I thank God a couple of times I wrote down the church because something special had happened. I wrote down a couple of times I'm thankful for warm, soft beds. You know, there's just something about going to bed and laying there after a hard day at work, and it's just relaxing. I think two or three times I wrote down, I am thankful. I'm a morning person, so I get up about 5:30 in the morning, and I'm thankful to sit down in a nice chair and have a hot cup of coffee. Well, the doctor took away real coffee, so now I have fake coffee, this decaffeinated stuff. But even that is better than nothing, just to sit there, relax, and have that quiet time. Well, I can't tell you everything I wrote down, but 360, I challenged you, make it a year of thanksgiving. I also challenge you this year in 2017, let's read the Bible from Genesis all the way to Revelation. And so hopefully you got up this morning and hopefully you finished it as we read Malachi chapter 3 and 4 and Revelation chapter 22. And I loved getting into 21 and 22 of Revelation as it talks about the New Jerusalem and how it's just exciting. I hope you read the Bible with me. I've challenged you. Every 4 years, I ask you to read the Bible through with me. And so this was the fourth time, I believe, that I've asked you to do that. And I've read it many other times, but I got more out of it this year for some reason than any other time I've ever read it. There was something different this year about reading through the Bible. I ask you to pray for the world around us. There's so many things going on, people that need to hear about Jesus. There's so much that we just need to know what's going on. And so I've asked you to pray for the world around us. I hope that you did that. It's hard to get away with anything, you know. When you're up front, you see everything. So praise God. I even put down, thank you for Beth. You know, I don't know if you guys are thankful for her, but wow. You know, she's over here all day yesterday trying to work with the guys getting these things fixed up. And just thankful for all that she does. Anyway, praying for the world and praying for each other. You know, it's time of change. I've tried to challenge you to live your life as a life of service to other people. And we did more service this year. Other than the 1 year we fed the homeless people, we did more service this year than other years that we've done it. I try to encourage you to be faithful to your church. I try to encourage you to share Jesus as often as you can. And then I try to encourage you, and you have succeeded beyond my imagination, to put up with the changes that are happening this year. Because we had so much going on with the parking lot, asbestos, lead, solar panels, we had mushrooms growing in our ceiling. You know, it's just been a wild year. And then changing the Sunday school rooms, wow. And you've endured it all. And I want to say thank you to that. Now, I'm not going to list all the changes, but, you know, there's things that are going on. We have two schools using our facility now, and that has caused some major confusion and headaches. But you have put up with that. We've changed classrooms into places that aren't supposed to be classrooms are now classrooms, and hopefully we're going to see more changes get back to normal. Our solar panels are finally working. I love getting up, going to work, walking across here, opening up the door, and watching the needle go backwards. I just want to thank you, Jesus. You know, it's been a long, hard time, and I felt so guilty because we've wasted so much money, and it's finally coming together. So, you know, it's year of change. Soon we're going to have a new steeple, I think. We've got the new projectors, and hopefully we'll get the computer going this week. Beth and I became foster parents this year. That has been a big change in our life. Attendance. People have noticed that our attendance is down a little bit. Well, part of that is thanks to my son moving away. There went 10 people in 1 week. And so that wasn't good. Rob and Andrea and Ryan moved away. And then in the last 3 months, here within our congregation, we've had 6 people have gone home to glory. And that kind of affects attendance too, you know. So it's just been a year of so many changes that I'm just wow. On the other hand, it's been an outstanding year for us. We took 3 or 4 trips, I don't know how many, to Tijuana, and I'm just excited about what we're doing out there. We gave away 100 big bags of hygiene stuff to down there to the women, and just I am so proud of our church. I believe this year we prepared a meal for the staff to thank them down there. You know, I get years mixed up. Was that last year? Well, it was close to this year. Okay. Wow. Anyway, we have been a blessing to the work going on in Tijuana. We've given away a lot of blankets and quilts. When they had a fire, we help take care of people. We provided beans and rice. And we've helped four kids. They charge you to go to school down there. And so we've helped four kids with their school expenses. I've been your pastor for over 17 years. We had our largest mission trip this year. Even though attendance is down and people comment, well, numbers are down. On the other hand, 23 of us went up to Westwood and did some major construction for Dan and Tabitha's church. We have been faithful in praying for Tucums Baptist Church in Latvia. We gave them $3,000, and as a result of that, they opened up another church and another ministry downtown, and so it's just so good. I'm just excited to see what God is doing. And so as we wrap up this year and store back in our memories some we want to get rid of and some we want to focus on, I want to focus on one overall fact, that is that God is faithful. He's brought us through some difficult times, and he will continue to do that. And so as we read through the Bible this year, as maybe what made the difference is I read through the Bible with a highlighter, and I highlighted everything that God spoke to me about. And so there's several Bible verses that just kind of jumped out on God's faithfulness. So I want to end off with four facts. Now again, we have a PowerPoint, you can see it, but it's only for the computer back in the back right now. So you might want to write it down in your bulletin if you want to, or just listen to me. But first of all, I want to say, God is faithful and will give us the victory. God is faithful and will give us the victory. The first victory that I think we have is a scripture that I just read from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. And that is that God gives us a victory over temptation. Every single one of us faces temptation. Now, some are a little bit different from each person, but people face temptations every single day. There's always that temptation on Sunday morning to stay in bed. But we're determined, I want to get up and I want to spend time with the family of God and to worship. And so we get up and do that. There's the temptation in whatever it might be. But God says that he will not give you a temptation that you're not able to overcome it, because he is faithful and he will provide a way to escape it. And if we sat back and instead of preaching, if we just dialogue this morning, we could talk about the temptations that we have and how we can overcome every single one of those if we want to. See, the problem is just those last words, if we want to, because we choose to sin. We choose to do it. God gives us a victory. The second victory is this other scripture that I read, and that is he gives us victory over forgiveness. In 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive us of our sins. And so every one of the sins, all of us are sinners. When we go out witnessing, when we go out and we share our faith with other people, normally I try to start off with the fact that God loves you. And the second thing I try to go out and tell people is, you know, I'm not here to condemn you or anything else, but we are all sinners. We're all on the same ground. There's no one who hasn't sinned. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That leaves us in a predicament. What do we do with that sin? And then I go on and say, but wait a minute. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, because I chose to sin. Remember, it's my choice. Because I chose to sin, the Bible said, for the wages of sin is death. I deserve to go to hell. Well, we may want to say, well, really, all I did was steal something or tell a lie or whatever. You know, that doesn't deserve to go to hell over that one. You break the law. I love Joe Arpaio, who was the sheriff in Arizona. He says, you do the crime, you do the time. And when you choose to sin, you've broken God's rules. And if you read Revelation with me, this chapter 22 this morning, it says there is no evil. Well, it didn't use that word. What? There's no evil allowed in heaven. It didn't use the word evil, but it's sin. Listen to my sermon and go home and read Revelation 22, and you'll know what I'm talking about. But anyway, the wages of sin is death. We deserve it. I try to tell people, so here's my mental picture. I'm a mental person. And so just about everything you tell me, I'm slow, okay? Because in my mind, I have to visualize it. And so when we're singing this song about bowing before God, in my mind, I am bowing down before God. And so I visualize sin in this way. I'm hanging from one of these chandeliers by the chain. Now, Phil and Raymond Miller and I put these up, and we pulled on them to make sure they're going to hold up. But we didn't swing from them. For me, it was a great temptation. I used to love getting ropes and swinging over big canyons and dropping off in the water and everything. But anyway, so I see myself visualizing hanging from that chandelier. And so I have a strong grip, a little like Popeye. And so I get my wire cutters out, or bolt cutters, and I cut every single link of that chain. What's going to happen to me? I'm going to fall. I deserve to fall. I cut every single link on that chain. I deserve to fall. Okay, so go to the next slide. I'm swinging from that. I learned my lesson. I'm just going to cut one link. What's going to happen? I'm still going to fall, aren't I? But wait a minute. I didn't cut them all. I didn't even cut the biggest one. It doesn't matter. When we choose to sin, the wages of sin is death. But God, who is faithful, gives us the victory. So when we confess our sins, He's faithful and just, will forgive us, and He has a little portable welder with Him, and He'll weld that link back together, and we're safe and secure in His hands. And so God is faithful. He'll give us the victory. Not only that, but I see that God is faithful, and He gives us the victory for His good. With all that people go through, probably one of the most quoted verses that I hear is Romans chapter 8, verse 28. If you probably know what it says. It says, "For all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and are called according to His purpose." And so sometimes we like to sit around and we like to get in this pity party. Poor me. Look at all that we have gone through. And believe me, I've been there this year as I've had to deal with all kinds of issues with the schools and the city and inspectors and everything else. And you just want to say, wow, why me? But when we look back at this verse, the victory that God gives us is for His good, that all things work together for good. Not everything that happens is good. But if we love God and we're dedicated to Him, it's all going to work for His good. And so there's a victory that we can have. And so I love the fact that God is faithful and He gives us the victory. And then one more thing on that victory there is that God is faithful, gives us the victory. It's victory over the evil one. If you will, turn with me to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Verse 3. This is going to be on page 1090 if you want to look in your pew Bible. 1090. 2 Thessalonians 3:3. "But the Lord is faithful." I love those words. "He will strengthen and guard you from the evil one." You see, in our beliefs, we believe that the devil is real. Now, he's not a guy with a pitchfork and horns and a big tail and everything else. But the devil is real. And his desire is to deceive us and to cause havoc in us. And he does all kinds of things around the world. But here it tells us that God is faithful and He will guard us from the evil one. And I think if we said the Lord's Prayer together every morning when I wake up, before I get out of the bed, I say, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Please, I add in word there because I like the word please. Please give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And then even though the Pope wants to change these words, I still use the same words. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Before my feet hit the floor, I've already prayed a prayer asking for God's guidance throughout the day. And then I have my cup of coffee. Protect us from the evil one. There's a victory. God is faithful, and he gives us that victory over the evil one. Oh, second thing I wanted to share with you is I think about the faithfulness of God, and that is that God is faithful, and he'll never leave us alone. He'll never leave us alone. Beth and I have been foster parents for 31 years. And probably the most outstanding foster child that we had was a little boy by the name of Tommy. And he was such a blessing to us. When we got him, they took him straight from the hospital. He'd been in there for about a month because of some broken ribs. His mom had beat him. So he came to us. And so we would talk with him. And he would tell us about how every evening his mom would come in from wherever she was, and she would take some rope and tie around his wrist. He had scars, multiple scars on his wrist. He was 5 years old from the ropes because kids can't sit still. And so his mom would take the rope and tie his hands up every night, and then she'd put duct tape over his mouth and then tie his feet so he couldn't get up. And then she'd put him in bed. Good night, Tommy. I love you. And she would go out and do her thing. And as I think about that, I'm just thinking about, you know, he was home alone every single night. His mom finally cut him loose and whatever, and then she deserted him. And so CPS, that's Child Protective Services, was called by a neighbor because a neighbor saw something, couldn't tell what it was, going underneath the house. In and out, in and out. And she thought it was a dog, long, shaggy hair, and just really grubby. Turned out to be Tommy. Mom had deserted him, and he was living, he's 5 years old, living underneath the house by himself, all alone. And so, you know, we had a lot of issues, if you can just imagine what he went through. And Beth and I had to take this boy and bring a healing to his life. And the biggest healing came with knowing that he's not alone. Tommy, I'm here with you. And that just kind of changed him. And he did change. The caseworker says we've never seen anything like this before. Just the miracles that took place in his life. Just the fact that he wasn't alone anymore. And God promises us that victory, that his faithfulness, he's never going to leave us. God promised the people in the Old Testament that he would not leave them. If you will go back to Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6. I think this is where Deborah read this morning. It's going to be on page 184 in the Pew Bible. Maybe she read a different one. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6. It says, be strong, be courageous, don't be terrified or afraid of them. For it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. You're never going to be alone. God's right there. Well, we may not be able to see him, but I believe we can know that he's there. He's there. He's here. We're not alone. God promised Joshua that he would go wherever he went. Turn over a few pages to Joshua. Right after Deuteronomy comes Joshua. Joshua chapter 1, verse 9, page 190. Haven't I commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. You can't go off on some mission trip and leave God behind. You can't go off and do anything. God is right there with us. He's never going to leave us. I love the way Jesus ended off in Matthew 28 with what we call the Great Commission. He says, go make disciples. But he ends off in verse 20 by saying, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age, end of the times, to the end, I will always be there with you. I'm just amazed at the faithfulness of God, that He's always there with it. One more verse. Again, hopefully you've read through the Bible and maybe you marked them and maybe you didn't, but Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. In your pew Bible, it's going to be on page 1108. It says, your life should be free from the love of money. I'm not going to preach on that one, but there's a good point there. Free from the love of money. But it says, be satisfied with what you have. For He Himself has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. And so satisfied. I love the song, I am satisfied with Jesus. Are we? Wow. God is faithful. He's never going to leave us alone. Oh, there's a third thing. If I'm looking at the faithfulness of God throughout the Scriptures as we've been reading it, is that God is faithful and He will always keep His Word. We talked about that last night at the dinner table. God will always keep His word. God promised that He was going to send a Messiah, His Son. We've read in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, behold, the virgin shall conceive a son, and shall give birth to him, and they will call him Emmanuel, God with us. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. And then we find over in Matthew chapter 1, verses 21 through 23, where the angel came to Joseph and says, hey, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what's conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and He shall save His people from their sins, and they will call Him Emmanuel, meaning God is with us. And so God promised to send the Messiah in Isaiah, and in Matthew, God kept His word, because God always keeps His word. We can count on Him. He is faithful. I told someone, my favorite attribute of God is His faithfulness. Some people say, well, I love the fact that He loves me. Okay, I like it that He's faithful. I can always count on Him. He's always the same. God promised to keep His covenant in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9. He promised to keep it with the people of Israel. And God did. The people broke the covenant. And God promises to keep the covenant with us if we just remain faithful to Him. God promises to keep His word. Let's go one more scripture there in Psalms 33. Psalm 33, verse 4. Page 502. For the word of the Lord is right, and all His work is trustworthy. We can count on God. Oh, there's a fourth thing. When I think of God's faithfulness. Now, I think if we sat down, we could come up with all kinds of things, but there's just four main things that I want to tell you this morning about the faithfulness of God, and that is He's faithful to give us a victory. He's faithful that He'll never leave us. He's faithful, we'll always keep His word, and then God is faithful, and His love never ends. His love never ends. His compassion never fails. The book of Lamentations. I was thinking, I'm not sure I've ever preached from the book of Lamentations before. It's one of those books, that and the Song of Solomon, that for some reason, not intentionally, but I just haven't got into it. So Lamentations, page 758 in your pew Bible. Lamentations, verse 22 and 23. Because of the Lord's faithful love, we do not perish, for His mercies never end. And I think this is a song here. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. And so we can count on God. His love never ends. It's always there. His compassion never fails. His devotion for His people. His devotion for His people never ends. This week we read from the book of Zechariah. Let's turn to Zechariah chapter 8, verse 8. Page 873. Zechariah 8, 8. I will bring them back to live in Jerusalem. They will be my people, and I will be their faithful and righteous God. God is there. His love never ends. He keeps His word. His caring for His people never ends. One more scripture, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. It says, cast all your cares upon Him because He cares about you. His love never ends. His compassion never fails. His devotion for His people never fails. His caring never ends. A lot more can be said, as I mentioned earlier, but I want to end off with the fact that God is faithful. One more scripture, Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold on to the confession of our hope. Let us hold on to the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. We can always count on God. You know, we can't count on each other. I talked to the people with the projectors. This is going to be a piece of cake. We will get it done in one day. You'll like the results. 3 days later, they're still not working. You know, they didn't take into consideration that things happen. The steeple, T-Mobile. Oh, Pastor, just 1 week. This is in June. Just 1 week, and we'll have it fixed up and running. And here this is, 2018, a year later, and it's still not up and running. You see, we can't count on T-Mobile. We can't count on Essex Sound. We had issues with, I could go on and on, the solar panels. We could go on and on and on. But we can always count on God. He's never let us down. He's never failed us. And He promises to give us the victory. Oh, it's the victory over temptation, the victory over sin, victory over forgiveness, whatever it might be. He promises to give us the victory. He promises He will never leave us or forsake us. He promised that He would always keep His word. And He promises that His love would never end. Three things remain, 1 Corinthians says. Faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. It'll never end. God loves us, and I love Him back. I'm so appreciative that He is faithful today. Would you pray with me, please? Our most gracious and loving Heavenly Father, I thank You so much for Your holy word and how we can trace it all the way from Genesis to Revelation, the fact that You are faithful, that we can count on You, that You love us, and that You keep Your word. And so, Father, today we want to call out upon You. Your word says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So, Father, we call on You today for those who've never done that before, that today, right here, right now, we might call upon You and that You would save us from our sins. Father, I thank You for the victories that You've given to us. And I thank You for blessing our church, getting us through a difficult year. But Father, we just believe that it's all going to work for the good because we love You. May Your kingdom come and Your will be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.